When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Yo, 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 what's happening, Rush Nation? Welcome to hype season. We are back. The combine is done. Free agency is looming. There's been franchise tags. It's everybody's favorite part of the season. It's time to get absolutely wildly overexcited for players we pretty much know nothing about at this point in the season. Murph, how are you, my man?
I am good, brother. It's been a hot minute since you and I have podded. So it's good to be back with you. It's been a crazy month, nonstop. I don't feel like I thought 2024, I thought like 2023, that was chaotic in many ways. 2024 seems to be more chaotic in different ways, but I'm just like, what's going on? Like, I've literally had no time to like stop and like breathe. And I've been to like 13 cities in the last 3 weeks. The boys had chicken pox. I shouldn't laugh, but it's been chaotic. So it's good to be back. It's good to be back doing this. We will resume our series reviewing 2023. But yeah, we're getting into a really exciting part of the NFL off season now. We've just had the combine. What, before we get into it, what was your thoughts on the combine this year?
Well, first off, it snuck up out of nowhere. Wasn't really publicized as much as previous years, I didn't think. There was nowhere near as much talk about it before it or during it. The only thing I really saw about it was results from each day as to what had happened, weighs in and stuff like that. And the actual combine itself followed the same curve, if you get my drift, with players not going, players deciding to not do stuff at the time. So I think it was Jaden Daniels, LSU quarterback, just decided not to go to the podium for his podium and didn't tell anyone, just didn't go. It wasn't as if he had said he wasn't going. It was all very weird. It's the first year we've seen that prospects have decided to not do it because the combine can... There are, don't get me wrong, there are prospects that know they have trained for the combine. We saw it a few years ago with the LSU. Was it the guy the Bucks took with the tackle and he ran a freakishly fast 40? I can't remember his name now.
The offensive lineman. Yeah, you mean Tristan Wirfs, but he wasn't from LSU.
No. But the Bucks took him, right?
Yeah. Tristan Wirfs ran a ridiculous 40 for a lineman.
Yeah. So we've seen players like that who were obviously hyped up for their combine, but then this year it felt like the prospects decided that the combine could only hurt them, so have done no testing or anything for it at all, and it's all been very cloak and dagger, a lot of it, I think.
Yeah,
because of, I don't know, it's been weird.
I couldn't agree more. I think that we've talked about the last few years that the combine really is kind of this false narrative where people draw so much from the combine and how you perform from the combine. It literally either makes or breaks players' careers based on how they perform at the combine. And players just opting out now, going, nah, just do it the pro day. I'll just do the pro day in my conditions. And I think it's ballsy. Like, I think it's, we're getting to a spate now where I think the combine has peaked. So I think we're now in this descend for a while. They're talking about taking the combine on the road. I think we're now, as a spectacle, we're getting to the point where people have kind of overreacted, overhyped for a while. And now we're at the stage where we're starting to see players go, mm-mm, we're not going to do it. Especially if they've got the capital, right? Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. It's just going, nah, it's okay. Yeah. I don't know how long that will last. I think for me now, the combine is the more interesting part of the combine now is the free agency news you get off the back of it. So I actually am now at the point where all the general managers meet up, they're discussing trades. A lot of things have come out of there in the last few years. Sort of whispers and noises that you start to see happen and then start to permeate and do happen. So, and no doubt some of these trades that we've seen in the NFL draft, probably these are where the discussions are starting here at the combine. So it's interesting, but I feel very underwhelmed. Now, I'm not someone that is a make or break combine guy. I think I've been pretty clear. Like, I enjoy it. I think it's useful, but at the same point, I don't like the overhypeness of it. And I think the fact that it hasn't really been overhyped this year is quite good, because I think now you'll get to see players judged on their actual talent. Having said that, I think you still have to judge players for the metrics they put up. I still think you have to see how players perform, and I think you have to judge them. There's a few players. I don't have that many players who I think had really bad weeks in fantasy relevant positions. I think there's far more that had good weeks. But I think there is a couple that definitely had a bad week and have hurt their drive. Some that we'll get into it. But yeah, I do think we're at the stage now where the combine is not the end all be all for players.
No, it's weird because you go back a couple of seasons and we've got DK Metcalf and he runs the three cone shuttle like a ferry and everybody is, you know, DK Metcalf's over. DK Metcalf's even season is finished because he can't turn on a sixpence and goes out and does DK Metcalf things. Because he got destroyed from his combine performance because he was too slow. And we've seen athletes this week, Spencer Rattler, for instance, he's been a polarizing quarterback in his collegiate career. He's been hot and cold, and he turns up to the combine and potentially needed a good combine because he's not shined to what we thought he was going to be with a five-star prospect coming out of high school. And he has the worst combine performance of every quarterback that has ever played in the combine. And I'm talking about people who have got one leg. Like Spencer Rattler was basically last in every metric or second to last and has done his draft stock. If he doesn't get drafted now, it would not surprise me. No. He will, because of there is that Spencer Rattler upside, but for me there isn't enough upside to mitigate what everything we else we have seen over the last, feels like 19 years he's played at college. But it's very weird, because here's a question for you then. Caleb Williams, that I feel as if the social media portrayal of Caleb Williams at the moment is crazy. I don't actually now know what to think of Caleb Williams as a prospect or as a person or as an athlete, because there is so much either way about him at the moment. And it is cloud. Like, I guess that's what makes the NFL scouts different from us. You know, their vision isn't cloudy because they know what they want. They know what they want to see. But for me, I've got Drake May higher in my rankings at the moment as a quarterback prospect. But I see the NFL teams aren't excited by Drake May, and that's fine. I think Drake May's great. I do rank him over Williams. But I am so far confused now on Williams, I don't know what to think. And what's your take on all of this, Williams?
So my view on it is there's no doubt there's a player, and there's no doubt there's a great talent. Do I think he is a great generational talent? No. I think he's a good player. I think he's someone who will do all right in the NFL. But I think I've said this so many times. For me, you could take the physical traits with everything. I think for me, the personality traits are so, so important.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, the two players that massively, in my eyes, just gave their draft stock the biggest boost they could have done was J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix Jr. And do you know why? Because they, I don't want to say they played the game, but they turned up, they were happy, they were healthy, they participated well, they did really well, they tested well, but they interviewed well, and they carried themselves. Both those players, both those men, carried themselves into this arena where everyone else has gone, nah, I'm not participating. And they've gone, do you know what? All right, we'll come. We're not afraid. Yeah. And for me, J.J. McCarthy, for me, goes above Jaden Daniels. And I think teams, don't be shocked if J.J. McCarthy gets drafted over Jaden Daniels, because I think people love the traits, but I think people love the characteristics, the leadership. You know, this guy's coming off the back of winning a national title. That is going to carry a certain amount of weight. J.J. McCarthy, as much as Twitter doesn't like him, is going to be drafted fairly highly. Mm-hmm. Michael Penix Jr., I've been pounding the table for him, is exactly the same for me. The leadership's the characteristics. He had a great combine. He's healthy. The accuracy and everything that you need to be a top, top quarterback, he has got in spades. You know, the players that have really started to fall off this process, the Bo Nixes of this world, you know, we have a real prospect to seeing five quarterbacks go pretty early in this draft. I think that's going to happen. I don't hate the Drake May over Caleb Williams, but I think if May had gone, I think May would have, well, can May actually do his draft stock any good? Caleb Williams to the Bears, for me, is done. I think it's done. I think it's going to happen. I don't see a world in which that doesn't happen. You know, there's the Justin Field trade talk is already going on. Looks like he's going to go to Atlanta. So I think Caleb Williams goes to Chicago. I think that is a thing. I think that's going to happen. That's why I don't think Caleb Williams cares. I think that's all signed, sealed, and delivered. I really do. And I think he's thinking, well, I've got nothing to gain because I'm going one. And then that makes me think, well, if people in the NFL know that, Washington's put the call into May, and I think that is almost done as well. And I don't like that for Washington. For the Bears, I get it. Because the Bears aren't that bad. They're not the number one team here for having the worst record. They're the number one team through a trade. And the team they got the one off last year ended up with this pick. So I look at the Bears and think, I don't think Justin Fields is good enough for the Bears. I think Caleb Williams is an upgrade. I think Caleb Williams will help them out significantly. I don't think he's the end finished article, but I think he can take this franchise forward a bit. I think they need to get some talent on the lines. I think they need to do more. But ultimately, I don't think they're a bottom five team next year. So I get picking Caleb Williams. That makes complete sense. Washington, on the other hand, are in the mass rebuild. Like, for me, every part of that team has to be rebuilt. There's not really that much strength in that roster. Maybe the running back position's fine. You got a one or two all right O linemen. You got a D lineman that's okay. The back end isn't great. The receiver core, you got Terry McLaurin. That's fine. The rest of it is dust, really. I mean, they've signed Zach Ertz to the tight end. I don't get that one at all. I don't know why you waste $5 million on tight end. Unless you're drafting Drake May and you're giving Drake May a weapon. And that's, again, for me, that's a clear sign that they're going to go Drake May. I think it's the wrong decision. I'd probably trade back if I can to like five and take a lineman. And I would strengthen the back end in free agency. I don't know what they're going to do, but it, for me, signing Zach Ertz is like, hey, great. We're going to give our rookie QB a major weapon of someone of experience who's going to help him. It point all of that transactional narrowness points to me that Drake May goes. So I think that's why these guys haven't turned up, because they've got absolutely nothing to gain because they know they're going one and two. And that makes sense. But J.J. McCarthy did his hopes the world of good. I think he's massively underrated. And I don't necessarily think he's going to be an amazing fantasy quarterback. So I'm going to park that. But I think he's going to be a more than adequate NFL quarterback. I mean, I love Michael Penix. I think Michael Penix Jr. is the guy. He's the guy I think everyone would love to root for. He's the guy you want to go and have a beer with. He's a proper leader. People are going to get around him. People are going to support him. People will follow him. He is a great leader. He's got great character. I've talked about Washington guys. Guys that come out of Washington just have this, the way that they carry themselves. And I said this before, they build men's character first and players second. And that comes out of every major prospect I've seen out of Washington in the last half a dozen years. So I think Michael Penix Jr. And again, the big thing for me at the combine was how healthy is he? How healthy? He looked good. Like, he looked good in tight spirals. He looked good. That's all I really need to see. I don't really care about his testing metrics because I know he's going to be a good player. It's how healthy he was. He looked really good. He did his combine the world of good. I think for me, you see a world where I don't think Jane Dunham was going to be the fifth quarterback off the board, but it wouldn't shock me if he was the fourth. Shock me if he was the fourth quarterback off this board. And he could be the fifth. And that for me would be right. I don't think it will happen, but I think that will happen. Just had some breaking news. The Patriots are open to trading Mac Jones, and teams have been calling them to express interest.
Oh, please, God, no.
I love that. I think Mac Jones is a good quarterback. I think Mac Jones is a good quarterback. I really do. And I think everything that's happened in New England the last couple of years is not his fault.
No, I don't disagree with that. I think that's right. But I don't want any part of that.
I get it. It's not super sexy, right? It's not like you're not going to, if your team signs Mac Jones, you're not sitting there like hollering and whooping and like punching the air. But I actually think if Denver, and I'm not saying they are, but if Denver got him, he's an upgrade on what they had. I'm just saying that.
I have no idea what to think anymore. Like,
and Broncos actually, country. I think schematically, this has just popped in my head because of your reaction. For no other reason, just your reaction. I think schematically in the Sean Payton offense, Mac Jones makes sense. I actually look at that and think, yeah, I get that. I get that. I think that would be a good move. I genuinely do. I think all parties win off that. He's got a lot of the similar characteristics to Drew Brees. I'm not saying he's Drew Brees.
Do you want to know someone else who's got ridiculously similar characteristics to Drew Brees?
Who?
Michael Pratt.
Okay.
It would not surprise me if Michael Pratt is there in the third round to see our third round pick spent on Michael Pratt. He just, okay. For everything I've seen and read, he is a Sean Payton quarterback. Oh, and the way we're going at the moment, it would not surprise me. It All really right. would not surprise me. Although, it wouldn't surprise me if we got Mac Jones and Michael Pratt and just said, let's have a Sean Payton off.
Hey, that could happen, right? That could genuinely happen. I think that is not
in the realms of possibilities. You were talking about Washington guys, Murph. How about Roma Dunze out there with his three-cone drill would not leave the field until he beat the time he wanted to be. He was the last guy on the field at the end of the day, and he just said, no, I'm going to keep going and going until I beat my time. And that is a work ethic you want to see.
Love that. Yeah, I love him. I think he's a great prospect. I think he showed just how good he is. For me, he was the most consistent sort of pass catcher here. I think he was very, very good. There's obviously a couple of hype guys here that we'll get to. But yeah, Roma Dunze, I think he's cemented himself as a first round pick. He's the sort of guy, again, you want to pound for. He's the sort of guy that you go, yeah, I really, really hope he has a great career. And I've got no doubt that he will. Fingers crossed he gets into a good spot. But I can see first round draft capital on him, and I'll be so pleased for him. You got to think Washington, that's not a big program. It's not a huge school. You know, for them to be up there in the college football playoffs, I mean, that's massive. And for Penix and Roman Dunze to be there, like, you have to dock your cap and say that those guys were a big part of it. And they're going to be really good in the NFL, and I can't wait to see them. So, yeah, I was pleased to see that for Roman Dunze. He did really well, and, yeah, he showed that character. They kind of remind me, do you remember the World Cup? And I can't remember if it was South Korea or Japan, but they tidied up like the dressing room and left it all like really neat and everything. Like everything was all bagged up. I kind of get the feeling that Michael Pakes Jr. and Roman Dunze would have done that at a combine. And that's not the story that's going to get printed. But it would not shock me if that turned up in a paper next week. They're like, oh yeah, these guys like left their spot there completely immaculate and then said hello to everybody on the way out. Because that's exactly what I would expect from each of them. We are probably going to get a bit slapped here because we have gone 15 minutes on the combine and haven't mentioned Xavier Worthy's 40-yard time.
That's because he was so fast you missed the segment.
I mean,
hey, look,
amazing.
Yeah, unbelievable. To run a 4-2-1 is... I mean, when do the Raiders have a pick? Because they like fast guys in the first round.
He could be there. John Gruden with his, was it John Gruden who drafted him?
Yeah, it was.
With his 40-yard times. But it wasn't just like, I feel like he's got a complete disservice here on his 40-yard time, because actually he jumped 41 inches in the vertical, 10 foot 11 in the broad. I was amazed that he didn't take part in the position drills. Maybe he was a bit scared. I don't know. Maybe he felt like he'd just done enough. But yeah, I think I really like the Texas wide receivers. I actually had A.D. Mitchell over Worthy. I still do, but I do think that Worthy has cemented himself. I think someone's just gonna love that time and just go, yeah, because speed is, there ain't that many guys in the NFL with that kind of speed, and that speed gets you paid consistently. Gets you paid. Look at Christian Kirk got a massive contract all because he's got speed. Marquise Brown was the same. Like, these guys get paid because they got speed.
I mean, you don't get the nickname Smoke because you're slow, right? And Xavier Worthy running, you're right, I think if Xavier Worthy had run a 4.26 or a 4.27 and then done really well in the other drills he participated in, that would have done his draft stock just as good, I think, because everybody knew he was fast, right? People are calling him a one-trick pony at Texas because he had Mitchell on the other side. And that's not true. You know, he's not an elite wide receiver, but Worthy can do a lot of good stuff. And then to go and run a 4.21, you just emphasize the fact you are stupidly fast. So it sort of detracts from the other stuff he did really well. But yeah, I loved him in college, and I think he's a good receiver. And just, we've seen it before, these fast guys, they do sometimes get swallowed up, right, by the NFL and the bigger hits.
Yeah, they do. And another receiver that I think did himself the world good was Ladd McConkey. I think he did a really, really good job. I mean, you're talking about a 4.3940, ran a 1.5210, which is just incredible. But he looked really good in the position drills. And I just think, like, for me, he was really, really solid. I was really impressed. He did have that one issue with the deep ball that I think he missed. It was quite late in the session that he just didn't get his eye on it. I think that would have been like the icing on top, or the cherry on top of the icing on top of the cake. But he had a really good combine. I think he's going to do really well again in the NFL. He's another player that I've got eyes on. You know, I think I was kind of at the position with these receivers. There's a lot of really good receivers, and outside of the first couple off the board, I wasn't quite sure like where these guys would sit. I think you've got a lot of potential ones or 1/2s here in terms of guys who can put up good numbers in the NFL and make good careers. I think it is quite a deep class. It's deeper than I guess the one thing for the combine for me was seeing that with the receivers. I think there's a lot of receivers here. I kind of thought, yeah, they're going to need to do something to really get in front of it, and they have done so. I think for me, I look at the combine, and there's, you know, guys like A.D. Mitchell. There's a lot of guys here that are going to hover in the second round, maybe even early third round, and people are going to look at them and go, oh, well, they went in the third round. You know, there's a lot of great receivers that got picked in the third round in the NFL. A lot of all pros, a lot of a lot of rings in between those guys picked in the third round. I don't think it's any disrespect. I think it's a deep class that could hinder the capital on some of these guys because it is quite deep. You could see a run in the first round, a run in the second round, then a run in the third round, because I think you could see that it is quite deep, that I think you're basically, people will feel quite comfortable waiting, thinking, I've got a group of about six guys that could be in the same tier. I'm quite comfortable waiting and hoping I just get one of those guys. And so I think as a result of that, when you get these deep classes, you can see players fall down the board. And people always misinterpret that for, well, they're just not great. It's two reasons why position groups fall down the board. One, the position group is absolutely trash. Or two, it's really good. And I think this one is really good. I think it's not elite. I don't think you've got as many of the elite guys as we had a couple of years ago, where you had the sort of the Jameson Williams, the Chris Olaves, the Garrett Wilsons. I don't think it's like, I don't think there's as many of those top tier guys. I think there's three in this class. And then I think there's a lot, but then I think that next tier, I think there could be as many as 10 in that tier, or you could break that into two micro tiers. And I think that's why you'll see position depth go down the board. It's not like the quarterback situation of a couple of years ago where you had Pickett go in the first round and then you didn't see another quarterback come off the board until the third round. That was probably right. It was just a really poor class. This is the opposite. So I think you'll see that position group go down a bit. But one sort of class I'm a bit unsure of is this running back group.
Right, let's move on. It's very difficult this year.
It's really difficult this year. But I want to give a shout out to Isaac Guerrero. Like, I think he's a really good player, and I've not watched a ton of him on tape until after the combine, but his metrics really stood out to me. Like a 4.33 40, that's amazing.
Do you know he's the fastest over 220-pound player to run a sub? I think it's a sub 4.35 since 2003.
Yeah, I didn't know that, but that doesn't surprise. He's amazing, like huge, a huge vertical, huge broad numbers he put up. His footwork looked good. He caught every ball that was thrown, so he's going to get a lot of work. I think for me, he probably jumped into a high day two pick or mid.
Yep.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a high day two pick. There was probably some concerns about him, but he did himself the world of good with that combine. He really couldn't have done it anymore. I think he looks a really interesting player, and I don't think there is a consensus one here. There's another back here that I think Jalen Wright out of Tennessee. I think he did a really good job. You know, his 40 time is pretty quick as well. 4.38. So again, he was 210 pounds. So not quite the sub 4.35, but hey, it was still pretty quick. 38 inch vertical, 11 foot two broad. Like he showed a lot of athleticism as well. I think for me, you're probably looking at Wright and thinking he's going to go in the second round now as well, easily.
Yeah.
So I think those two guys really help their draft stock. And again, I don't think there is this sort of clear consensus, but I do think they're ones to keep an eye on. I like both those players, but yeah, I'm finding it hard to make a consensus at one. I really am.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's at the running back position. I don't think there is this. I don't think you're going to see this elite sort of ball carrier in this class. I don't think you're going to see one come out. I think you're just going to see a lot of guys who can contribute and do a really good job. One guy that really did shock me was Tyrone Tracy, so out of Purdue. So I watched his tape, and I really liked him, like, a lot. And I was like, there's no hype on this guy at all. Like, none. Like, no one's talking about him. Maybe because he plays for Purdue, right? He had a really, really good combine. I think he's going to get drafted quite high. Not quite high in the sense of he's not going to go round two, but I think he's, like, for me, that sort of, he might get that late Trey Sermon hype that we got a couple of years ago.
Oh, that's a killer blow.
But I actually think he's potentially better than Trey Sermon. So I've got my eye on him. People always like to ask me, whose guys you're going to see late going? Tyrone Tracy out of Purdue at running back. I think it's a crap class overall, and I actually think he's someone that could do quite well as a result. So yeah, keep an eye on that one.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you've got Frank Gore Jr. just doing Frank Gore stuff. So he's very much in his father's mold. I just want to shout out Blake Corum as well. 27 reps on the bench for a 205, 5'8" back is considered pretty good when the linemen didn't even get to 27. And this kid's much smaller than them. So 27 reps is a big deal. And, you know, he's an undersized guy, Blake Corum. But as we saw for Michigan, he can carry the rock. So he might be someone to watch if he lands in the right spot. But yeah, it's not a great class.
No.
For
I was gutted for Bucky Irvin. I really like Bucky Irvin. I actually think for fantasy I was really keeping an eye on him. But man, yeah, for a guy who's short, I was really not expecting the times he put up. They were quite slow. It doesn't look like that on tape. Like, he looks a lot faster on tape. So to see those times, not great. I think he's not done his draft stock any good at all. I think he could be one that will be really suffering.
I thought he was gonna run a 4.4 just because he's of his size. He's not a heavy bruising back, is he? 192 at 5.8, 5.9. He definitely looks slow, and like you said, he doesn't normally. So I don't know what happened to his combine. But
yeah, I don't really know what happened. Having said that, right, let's talk about Dallin Holker, the tight end at Colorado State. Right? We want to talk about slow times. This guy is a tight end, almost ran a 4.8, which is okay if you're a really big tight end. Like, if you're a really big, solid tight end, but he's only 241.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't get drafted with that time. His three cone was really good. So I think he ran a 6.833 cone. But actually, yeah, that you run nearly a 4.8.
He had the second lowest vertical as well.
Yeah.
Not an explosive showing.
Yeah, which when you're already that size of the tight end and you don't have explosiveness, you're done. I don't see him getting drafted now. That was pretty, pretty bad.
Yeah.
Any other combine highlights, or should we move on to franchise tag?
No, we can move on. Yeah, we can move on.
It was a quiet franchise tag this year. Kind of, again, this is one of those events that kind of snuck up on us. And it was like, I thought all the names being banded around, and actually, it's fairly quiet. It was only 9 tags applied, 7 of them offensive players or linemen, only 2 relevant for fantasy players.
Yeah. I guess T. Higgins, I don't know if T. Higgins was a surprise because there was chat about him moving to other teams, you know, that he'd be a good target for other teams, I should say. And then to get tagged is, I don't know whether I was surprised by that. Michael Pittman, I didn't even hear anything about Michael Pittman being tagged. And then all of a sudden he was tagged. I guess maybe I didn't know it was his time for contract or whatever. But
I think it was, I see them doing a deal with Pittman. So I see a deal being done. They're like, $21.8 million is a lot of money to be paying Michael Pittman on a 1-year deal, and he's proven it for me. So I think that's a deal that will get done. I just think they couldn't get it done in time for whatever reason. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But, I mean, I'm glad because you get to see him with Anthony Richardson. He's a guy that over the last 3 years is averaging over 1,000-yard seasons and around about 100 catches. So, you know, it's not bad that he's staying. T. Higgins is a really interesting one because he's kind of never really been the guy.
Yeah.
He's kind of, he's not really got there, is he? He's always been in Chase's shadow and Chase been injured. He's had good games. He's a very solid wide receiver, but he's not elite, really. I mean, the only reason I'm surprised they tagged him is the amount of money they're going to have to pay him.
Mm.
Like, you're paying your second receiver, again, close to that 20, you know, that 21.8 million is what you're paying him. I mean, that's a lot of money to be paying a second receiver.
Yeah.
And maybe because they think they're in a window, they've lost Tyler Boyd, they can't really lose much more there. I don't know, but it's a lot of money to be paying a second receiver, and I'm not sure they get a deal done. So I think this is it. I think it's a one and done. I think he goes next year.
You say they're in a window. I saw something today about them and Joe Mixon parting ways.
Joe Mixon's gone, but that's not a big surprise. Joe Mixon is declining asset. He's getting older. It's not a big surprise that Joe Mixon's going to be leaving. This is a great free agency class, which we'll get onto in a minute, for running backs. You know, I can see them putting some money on Josh Jacobs or Saquon Barkley or, you know, any one of those. There's a few guys they could go out and go acquire. So I think I get moving on from Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon, again, has not been that elite level, but he wants elite level money. And they're like, nah, see you later. You can go. I think if they hadn't tagged Higgins, he might have got the tag. But either way, I think that, you know, I don't think it's a bad thing they're moving on from Joe Mixon.
No, that's fair. All right, well, let's talk some free agents then. We might as well start with Russell Wilson, considering he's no longer a Denver Bronco. I'm only saying that out of spite, man. If we don't talk about Russell Wilson, we don't have to mention his name whatsoever. We might as well go quarterback. Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins. Did Russell Wilson find a job?
Yeah, I think he becomes a Steeler. He's in talks to go and be the Steelers. I think he did have a swing by the Giants. But, yeah, for me, I think he becomes a Pittsburgh Steeler. I think that makes all the sense in the world. I look at that and go, that's just the most logical signing. If you're Kirk Cousins, do you go to Pittsburgh? Probably not. And I think that is a team that can get something out of him. Do I think that we've seen the best days of Russell Wilson already? Absolutely. But I think he's probably good enough to start in this league. I think he gives them a bit of a mobility, which they need. And I think he'll give them a, you know, he's an elevation on what they've had the last few years. He'll bring a bit of stability in that room. They can sign him to a really cheap deal because of the nature of him leaving with the Broncos. The Broncos are on the hook, so he's on for 37, 39 million, whatever it is. So, you know, basically how it works is whatever the Steelers or whoever signed him are willing to pay, that money goes back to the Broncos.
Yep.
So Wilson's getting his money no matter what. So why would you take a big deal when you're going to get paid anyway, help your teammates out? So I can see him taking like the league minimum year one, $1 million year one. And then I see him getting, you know, more money in year two and year three. And it kind of works for everyone. You can sign him on a team-friendly deal. You upgrade the position. So, yeah, I think he ends up as a Steeler. I think that one's going to happen. I wouldn't say I bet the house on it, but I'd be more surprised if it didn't happen than if it did.
All right. What about Kirk? Where do you think Captain Kirk ends up?
I think he stays.
Do you?
Yeah, I think he stays. I think he stays in Minnesota. He's got a relationship with Kevin McConnell. He had him in Washington. He had him, you know, he's had him a couple of years. I think if O'Connell wants to keep him, I think Kirk Cousins stays. I think they can get a deal done. I don't think he's going to get the money he's had in the past, but I think if he's willing to take a reasonable deal, I don't think he's the type of bloke that uproots his family unless there's something bigger destined. And I don't know if he's going to get a better team than Minnesota knocking on his door. Yeah. Where like, if you think Minnesota, right, they had a bad year. They had a lot of injuries. Don't forget Kirk Cousins was injured. You know, they had a lot of players. Justin Jefferson was injured. They had a lot of injuries. They were a playoff team the year before. Do any of last year's playoff teams knock on the door for Kirk Cousins? Realistically.
I don't think so. I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think any of the teams from last year's playoffs, if you look at the NFC and you look at San Francisco aren't, Philly aren't, Cowboys aren't, the Bucks might, but I don't think so. The Lions aren't, the Packers won't. I don't see, and then you look on the other side of the coin, the Bills won't, the Chiefs won't, the Ravens won't. Is Kirk getting a better team? Like I mean, he does. I don't think he gets a better spot than he's got now. And I think he stays. I think it works. I think if Kevin O'Connell wants him, I think they stay. So that's my opinion, is I think he stays where he is.
You've got Baker Mayfield on this list, Murph. Is that because the deal's not getting done with the Bucks, or?
Well, if you believe reports, they're 20 million off. I think it's done. I'm not too worried. I think that will happen. I think he stays. They've signed Mike Evans now. Mike Evans isn't signing without knowing who the next quarterback is. He said he didn't want to play with a rookie. I think that deal's all done, bar the shouting. It wouldn't shock me if we got to Monday, Tuesday, and that got released that was being done. But I think it's done. I think it's pretty confident that will happen. I don't think Baker Mayfield goes anywhere else.
Just looking through this list of running backs: Saquon Barkley, Tony Pollard, Josh Jacobs, DeAndre Swift, Derrick Henry, Austin Eckler, J.K. Dobbins. That's an absolutely stellar lineup of running backs.
That's what I mean. That's why you're not bothered if Joe Mixon's testing the market. Crack on, Joe. Have a good time. Like, see how you get on. This one I can't work out, because this is a domino effect for me now. And I think whoever gets the first will start to trigger the actions of the rest. So for me, Saquon is the crown jewel of this free agency. So yep. I am intrigued where he goes. I'm genuinely intrigued, because I genuinely have no idea where he goes. The only one I have any sense on where I think they're going to land is Tony Pollard.
Where's Tony Pollard?
Well, I think he stays.
Okay.
So I think Tony Pollard stays. I think they work that one out, and I think he stays.
That makes sense.
The rest of them, Swift, I could see him going back to Philly. I can see him not going back to Philly. I could see Philly going in for one of these guys. Philly for Henry would make some sense. I think the Bengals are in play for getting one of these guys. Wouldn't shock me if the Browns went for one of these guys and cut Nick Chubb. I could see that happening for cap reasons if they can make the cap work. I think Josh Jacobs is really interesting. I think he's someone who has had a lot of tread on his tires, but has been mildly efficient in a team that hasn't been that good. Yeah. The one I think he's going to generate the least amount of interest is probably Austin Eckler.
Is that an age thing?
I think it's an age thing, and he looked bad last year. He didn't look good. I think he's going to struggle to get a big job. J.K. Dobbins will be the other one. Just think of all those injuries. I don't think people will want to give him a big contract. It wouldn't shock me if Austin Eckler didn't sign with anyone. You always have one or two of these guys. Look at Leonard Fournette last year.
Yeah.
Leonard Fournette left the Bucks. He left on, I wouldn't say the highest of highs, but he won a ring a couple of years after before he left. And he looked good in that year that he won a ring, especially in the playoffs. And no one wanted to touch him. He ended up on a practice squad, I think, with Dallas?
Buffalo.
Yeah, or Buffalo. Yeah, I couldn't even remember where he went. That's what I mean. He did nothing. So there's always one of these guys who you think, oh, yeah, they're definitely going to get a deal. Austin Eckler is that guy I think could be, when all the seats were all worked out, could be the one without a contract.
Where would you like your crown jewel of running backs from free agency to land, Murph? Where can you see Barkley being best?
For me, I'd love Barkley. Everyone's going to say Minnesota, but I think under Kevin O'Connell, I don't know if I want that to happen. LA would be interesting. LA, but I don't think they've got the money. Rams. Plus, another one's killed Kyron Williams.
Yeah.
So I think for me, if you could get Saquon, for fantasy purposes, I wouldn't mind Saquon. It would never happen, but Saquon Barkley at the Raiders. Because of how much they use Josh Jacobs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that would be phenomenal. Like, it could be even better. Like, he's a better player than Josh Jacobs. And Josh Jacobs has been back-to-back RB once. So, like, yeah. Imagine what Saquon Barkley would do that. I don't think it's a terrible... That O-line's not horrendous. It's not too bad, but it could improve.
That would be juicy.
I think that would be a really good spot for him. I think Oakland could be good. Just having a think now.
Because obviously he's been in... Go on.
Yeah, I'm just having a think. Like, I think that would be probably one of the more interesting spots. Maybe the Bengals, but again, I'm not so sure that really unlocks his fantasy numbers. Imagine if he ended up in the Ravens.
That's what I was going to say. Can you imagine Lamar with an actual bell cow running back?
That'd be scary, wouldn't it? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's a hard one because I don't think there's that many bell cow roles out there.
Yeah.
And so the only one for me genuinely out there is probably Oakland. Or New York.
He's not going back, surely.
I wouldn't expect him to go back, but stranger things have happened, right?
It's true.
Who knows? The real interesting one for me is Derrick Henry. Where does Derrick Henry go at this stage of his career? For me, Philly makes sense. Like, I would look at that and go, he wants a chance to contend. They were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. I could see that happening. Yeah, I could. I think that would make sense for me, but I don't know if that happens. Oh, they've just dropped the comp picks. There's only four third rounders this year. Jacksonville,
money.
Philadelphia, Rams, San Francisco. San Francisco have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. San Francisco have 5 comp picks.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
All pretty good ones.
What about Derrick Henry to the Bills?
Yeah. I don't think they do. I don't think they're going to... They're in cap hell. So, I don't know if you noticed this, but they've just cut, like, their entire back end.
Yeah. Like, good back.
Poyer's gone. White's gone. Like, they are in cap. They're in cap hell. They're still not under the cap. They've got a few days to get under there.
Wednesday,
isn't restructuring it? To make it happen. Yeah, Wednesday. So, yeah, I don't see that happening. I could see them maybe going for a cheap guy. Maybe they get Eckler on a cheap deal and say, look, you want to have one last dice? Like, you can come along. I don't think Henry plays for like less than like $8 million. I just don't think the Bills can afford it.
What a problem to have.
Yeah, but also, what about the Patriots? Because, you know, they didn't get a lot of run production there.
Can you imagine a LeGarrette Blount season for Derrick Henry?
It could happen.
It could.
It could happen.
In fact, you know what? Book it. Derrick Henry, 15 touchdowns for the Patriots next season.
Under Jared Mayo. Yeah, I love it. So, the one position that is very, very thin in free agency is tight ends. I was going through the top. We'll get to wide receivers in a minute. I was going through the NFL's list of the top 101 players. And correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not sure there's a guy on here now that's in free agency. That's a tight end.
I don't know.
There is. There's one. Noah Fant. Noah Fant season, baby. Let's go.
That train crashed and burnt many years ago.
Come on, Noah Fant. I was so pleased when he got drafted in the first round of the NFL draft. I love Noah Fant. Noah Fant is the best tight end available out there. He's the only tight end available out there. So, because Hunter Henry just went back to the Patriots. So, yeah.
Has Logan Thomas not been signed now?
No, he is out there, but he is quite injured. He's quite injured.
He's injured, but he's out there, but he's quite injured.
He's quite injured. He's always injured. We'll see what happens to him. He might still be out there. I think he is, but no.
I know he got cut.
Yeah, he did get cut for Zach Ertz.
It's an upgrade.
Which makes sense. So, and then the wide receiver position is it fair to say it's less than stellar when you take one name out of this list?
Yes. There is a lot of wide receiver twos vying for jobs.
Or threes. So you got Calvin Ridley, who I think is fascinating. Because I can see a pathway to him going back to Jacksonville.
I thought you were going to say Atlanta.
He could go to Atlanta. He could go back to Atlanta. Like, at the end of the day, he'd walk on there. I mean, like, their wide receiver two is... I don't even know who their wide receiver two is. Some Joe. So, yeah, I look at Calvin Ridley. He's going to command a decent payday. But then after that, Marquise Brown, I think he stays in Arizona. I think if they can get a deal done, that would make a lot of sense. Gabe Davis, the perennial letdown of all fantasy players everywhere.
Unless you've benched him and then he'll go off.
100%. Darnell Mooney, I really hope he gets a good spot. I really like Darnell Mooney. I really hope he lands in a good spot somewhere and gets an opportunity because he's played under some horrible quarterbacks in his time. Curtis Samuel. I don't really know what to think of Curtis Samuel anymore. It's kind of like that hype train rivals every year, and every year it always disappoints. OBJ. I mean, he at times looks really good. It's just, can he stay healthy? Tyler Boyd, who, I don't know, he could end up back at Cincy on a cheap deal. He could go anywhere, really. I think he's someone I would look at and go, yeah, I'd be picking him up and having him for his experience. Model professional, does a great job. And then Slant Boy himself, old Michael Thomas, got cut last week or this week. So Slant Boy enters the arena here as a free agent. I wonder who takes his who takes their lot on a player who's played, I think, like
nine snaps
in like 3 years, or like he's basically had as many highlights in the NFL in the last 3 years as I have.
As much as I love Michael Thomas, that's fair.
I mean, it just doesn't. I'm gonna have to look up how many snaps he's played now.
He's definitely played a few. Like he did play last season.
I mean, he had 39 catches last year. Do you know what's funny? He had more touchdown catches in 2022 than he did in 2023.
But what?
Yeah. In 2022, he had 16 catches for 171 yards and 3 touchdowns. In 2023, he had 39 catches, 448 yards, and 1 touchdown.
Something's not right there.
No.
It's Michael Thomas season, baby. Let's go.
So if you look in his last 4 seasons, in his last 4 seasons, he has combined for...
Lift music. 95
catches, give or take 1,000 yards and 4 touchdowns in 4 seasons.
So that is 25 catches for 250 yards and a touchdown per season.
Yeah.
That's wide receiver 3 numbers, baby.
Wide receiver 7 numbers. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
He's actually not as old as I thought he was. I thought he was older. He's only 31.
Just well, that makes 31. Me feel old.
Well, yeah. So, yeah. So there you go. He's got, he did in 2020, did manage a rushing yard. It's his best season in rushing. He got 1 rushing yard.
This is off the rails.
Yeah, it's gone. Gone. But yeah, it's a Slant Boy into the chat. I don't know where he's going to go.
He'll get a job.
Yeah. What I will say, what's probably more interesting is some players who I think if they can avoid... There's 2 running backs. I think if they can avoid getting a running back added to their running back room in free agency and have significant draft capital, who I'd say could be in line for decent seasons next year. And it's going to be Brian Robinson of Washington, who we talked about last year, and Chuba Hubbard of the Panthers.
Interesting.
Who I don't think they're going to be incredibly expensive in drafts, but if they can avoid the chaos, I think both could be in good places to be well within their rights to be punching over their ADP next year.
Nice. I like it. Any other areas of business before we jet, Murph?
No, I think that's about it. I think it's exciting. Illegal tampering or legal tampering or whatever the tampering terminology is happens on Monday. So when that opens up, you'll see a deal announced within about 32 seconds. To say that, oh, look, this player's in size, like, well, they did that quick in 32 seconds. so that happens on Monday. So that happens Monday, Tuesday. Then players officially sign on Wednesday. Wednesday is the start of the new league year. That will be exciting. We'll see what player moves will happen over the weekend. I think you'll see a few more cuts happen. Keep an eye on the Bills. Keep an eye on some of these teams that are a bit cap hit. Watch out for news on players who could potentially sign over the coming days as well, so that teams don't let them hit free agency. The ones I'll be watching out for Tony Pollard, I think, is one. Baker Mayfield, I think, is another one as well. Lavonte David, I think, is one I'd expect over the next few days. I think there'd be a few others you might see over the next. Chase Young's an interesting one. I don't know if they're going to offer him a new deal. I think they should, but especially if they traded for him. Frankie Louvu, I think, is another one that could stay. Marquise Brown, I think, could stay. There's a few players I think you'll see staying over the next few days. So let's keep an eye on that one. And then we'll hit the markets on Monday. And it's going to be an exciting week next week. I can't wait for it.
Yes, indeedy. The teams have to get within their salary cap before Wednesday starts, I think, as well. So
yeah,
there'll be some jiggery pokery before then. I have one area of business first. The final two Listener League t-shirts turned up this morning. I have had an absolute S show trying to get hold of the last two t-shirts. For some reason, the company just went bananas and were telling me the stuff was sent and it never turned up. So I apologize for the delay, but they will go in the post tomorrow. They're already packed up, ready to go. I just need to take them to the post office. So they're on their way, essentially. By the time you've listened to this, they are en route to wherever you may be. And if you are watching on the video, you have just seen Murph go bananas. So if you're not watching, please do like and subscribe on the YouTube or wherever you are watching, because it is a whole bag of fun. And shout out to those that are watching right now, because the number's pretty big for anything I've seen on my side of the monitor. So I doff my cap to you all watching. But that's going to do it. Do follow us on Twitter at 5yard. No, yeah, at 5yard rush. Follow Murph at Murph_NFL. You may have noticed that the website is currently down. That's because we are changing provider. So whilst the off-season is doing its thing, we're also doing ours. But Rush Nation, until next week when we get a whole new load of player news, that's going to do it for today. As always, don't forget, keep rushing.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.